Judy Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 188 on February 20th, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time, as usual. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for all those people around the world that are interested in pegging. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the support my work button on the right-hand side of my website. Don't forget, there's an extraordinary and carefully curated selection of body-safe, non-toxic toys, which can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and be sure to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your entire purchase. That's RYDER. You will be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. So, it feels like I just did a podcast, and I kind of did, because my last one, the bisexual podcast, was a little bit late, and I wanted to add something that I thought was really a cool thing and touching and just needed to be added on to the end of the whole bisexual podcast thing. There was one person who submitted their story, and he wrote back and said this: "In closing my story, I had wanted to dedicate my words to those who may have wanted to share, but couldn't find the courage to write or push send, no matter what their stories." And I would really like to echo that. That's why I wanted to read it, is because it's such a lovely sentiment and so heartfelt, and I embrace that 100%. I know there's a lot of you out there that listen, and you're never going to write in, and you're probably never going to call in, but you're out there, and you're listening, and you're thinking about it, and perhaps you're doing things, and that's cool. Wherever you are right now is exactly where you need to be. So definitely, that whole last podcast, the bisexuality podcast, is dedicated to all of you who didn't take the time or didn't have the courage to push send, or it was just too intense of a story, or for any reason at all. I think it's just excellent that you're all here listening and interested, and love to hear from you, and love to have you listen, and love to have you do both if that's what rings your bell. So thanks to everybody again who contributed last time. That was really a fun podcast to do. And let's see here. I have a Patreon update. Oh boy.
Yes.
This has been a really good couple of weeks for Patreon. You guys are awesome. Terry pledged $20 a month. Terry, thank you so much for that generous pledge. Really appreciate your support. Christine pledged $20 a month. Christine, thank you so much for your generous pledge. Really appreciate it. Jack pledged $50 a month. Jack, awesome. Thank you so much for your support. I really appreciate it. And John pledged $50 a month as well. Wow. Thank you, John. Incredibly generous of you. Really appreciate your support. All of you, big, big thank you. Big virtual hugs out there I'm sending to you. Appreciate your patronage. Happy to have you as patrons, and I hope you really enjoy everything you have access to on my Patreon site. Yay! Thanks again. So let's get into your letters. I had a couple of comments from previous podcasts, so let me dive into those. For your information, from podcast number 186 regarding, quote, biggins, end quote, as we say in the South, Lalo, as we both know, is quality. I certainly don't need this, but here's a resource. Listen regularly, having fun, got some new stuff, more to come. I'll let you know how it goes. Best wishes, Ruby. And then he gave me a link to the new condom that Layla has, which is called the Hex Condom. So, okay, not really thrilled with the Hex Condom, even though I know they say it's like the biggest one. I'm not sure if it is or not, but here's the deal with the Hex Condom. there's this cool thing, they call it the hex because there's a hexagonal structure to it that is supposed to be really strong. But the problem with that condom is two things. One is that if it does tear, it doesn't fall apart. In other words, okay, we're all used to condoms, right? And if it rips, then it just falls apart, and you know it fell apart, so you know that you have been exposed or that you need to take other measures if you don't want to get pregnant or something like that, right? But the hex condom does not fall apart. So my point is that if there is a tear in it or if it is compromised, it will still look as if it's fine. And this, to me, is not a good thing. And the other thing is who they use to promote it. The guy they use to promote it is a known female abuser with past partners. And I just can't hang with that. I thought they thought that he would be a good spokesperson because he does have HIV. So if anybody has to be careful, it would certainly be someone who has HIV. But at the same time, really? You're going to use somebody who's abusive to women to market your campaign? So I lost a lot of respect for Lalo at that point. I appreciate your suggestion that it might be a good condom to use to cover up the big toys, that it might be the biggest one out there. But I really don't think it is the biggest one out there. And, you know, yeah, I listed the problems already, but I appreciate you mentioning it. And if anybody else wants to try it, now you know the risks and you know the marketing. Thank you, though, for writing in. I do really appreciate it from down south with the biggins. Okay, here is the next one. And this is actually also regarding podcast number 186. Brava, your intelligence and talent never cease to amaze me. You have done a better job of explaining shame and vulnerability than Brené Brown has in all her interviews. You read an article from a lady regarding her mother's attempt to condition her to society's norms regarding sexuality. I am a guy and have felt her pain in that regard. I just want to have safe fun. It has been a long, interesting journey. You were able to succinctly and clearly communicate the issues that so many of us guys go through, but often don't dare have the courage to talk about. May we continue to be blessed by all you do, Robert. Oh, Robert, that is sweet. You know, I pulled a bunch of stuff together about the Shame podcast, and I have more thoughts on it as well, because so many things interlock and interweave and interact, that's the word I'm looking for, in all of that. It's not just this isolated thing of it being a taboo thing and all of that, and the shame that results from that. So let me read this last one, and then I'll talk a little bit more about shame. This is another comment on 186. Great episode. I found your discussion of shame very thought-provoking. I do not share my kinks with the vanilla world, but I am upfront about my interests with, shall we say, fellow travelers. So I would say I have zero shame about liking to be pegged, but one of the turn-ons about pegging is that it is dirty. How does being dirty relate to shame? It must be connected. Your thoughts? Well, let me answer this one. Because, and then I'll do my little talk about some other things I've thought about shame. As far as that question right there, I think that the important thing to remember is that shame is feeling like you're bad, not like you're doing something naughty. You know, doing something naughty or doing something taboo is the action that is sort of taboo or maybe dirty or naughty or sort of forbidden, right? But shame is all about the inside of you. Shame is feeling like you're a bad person. So I think no matter, I mean, I've heard people express that, okay, if we really work on making this whole pegging thing not so taboo, that the danger there is the thrill of it being taboo and forbidden is not going to be a part of that act anymore. And okay, I get you. You know, it's sort of like way back when a blowjob was really a big deal and hardly any women did it. It must have been a freaking amazing thrill to get a blowjob or have a guy go down on you when guys didn't do that very much and it was just PIV and whatever. But the point is, it's really, really important to not feel bad about doing things that other people may think are strange, weird, different, taboo, forbidden, gross, icky, whatever. If it's your kink and you love it and you desire it, and you have a partner who wants to do that kink with you, and it's consensual, and nobody's getting injured, and you're being responsible and safe, rock on and fucking do what you want. There is no shame in that. That is something to be proud of, because you're embracing your desires. You're exploring your kinks despite what weirdness society might put on you. And there's some other stuff about what society might put on you. I have something else to read you here. This is something that was put up on Facebook by a therapist that I am friends with on Facebook and have met personally. Her name is Kate Lurie. I have mentioned her before in this podcast. She's a psychotherapist at katelurie.com. That's KateLoree.com. She specializes in kink, non-monogamy, LGBTQ, and sex worker communities. She has a private practice in Encino, California, but she also does Skype sessions. So Kate put this thing up on her Facebook wall, and it kind of blew me away, because I've talked a little bit before about how men are deprived of touch starting at the age of like 10 or so, and tender, non-sexual, loving touch is not given to boys starting at around 10. But Kate goes on to describe other things that society expects of young men as well. So this is what she wrote. A devil's deal is made with our white boys in the U.S. at a very young age. It goes like this. Number one, you will not be allowed to express yourself emotionally. Number two, you will not be able to express yourself sexually beyond heteronormative ideals. Number three, you will not be able to express yourself creatively through dress or dance. In other words, you will sell your soul, or at least part of your humanity. Note, violations to the contract will be seen as feminine or gay and will be punished. But in exchange, 1, you will be able to dominate others with little recourse. 2, you will be allowed to be entitled in most areas of your life. Number 3, white males who look like you and started our country via genocide and enslavement will be seen as heroes rather than deeply mentally ill. This is not a good deal, but it is foisted upon our innocent, lively, creative, emotional boys. It's a recipe for a spiritual breakdown, and then we wonder why our schools continue to get shot up by white boys. We wonder why white male politicians violate our basic human rights and allow shootings to continue. A baby boy is born full of light and promise. He's born with all the potential for kindness and compassion in the world. But this is what we do to this baby boy. If emotional intelligence and compassion is likened to a sword that one can wield, then how is this boy to master the sword if he is punished for even picking it up? We give him this devil's deal at a very young age. It's foisted upon him by the church, family, peers, coaches, and advertising. Very few men truly find a way to dodge this fate. Just watch The Mask You Live In, if you don't believe me. The lucky ones, who are not assimilated somehow, have had access to alternative enculturation while being shielded from the brainwashing. So what is the solution? Obviously, changes need to occur at the top, the NRA, etc. But it also needs to start with our young boys who are under an emotional pressure cooker with little outlet for healthy emotional, sexual, or creative expression, while concurrently being allowed to be self-entitled. This cultural shaping is bound to create some sociopaths who may grow up to be a shooter, a narcissistic CEO, or a heartless politician. Strength is not a male trait. It's a human trait. Compassion is not a female trait. It's a human trait. If we begin to break down these gender norms that suffocate human authenticity and potential, I promise you, rape and mass shootings will decrease, love, tolerance, and harmony will finally ascend and take a proper place within humanity. Again, this is Kate Lurie, KateLoree. And I was pretty blown away by this when I read it. Oh, Facebook and Twitter and everywhere is quite active now, and it's hard. It's impossible. It's not hard. It's impossible to do this podcast without talking about more children being murdered, basically, and the sadness of that and the heartbreak of it and the frustration and the anger inside me that this continues. But I know it's not just about the guns. I know it's about our society as well. It's a problem that has many facets to it. And I think we would do well to really pay attention to all the parts of it as opposed to blaming it all on one thing or another. And I think that one of these facets, one of these really important parts, is exactly what Kate Lurie is talking about. And it's really interesting how I run up against this in the whole pegging world. We've talked about this before, how vulnerability is unacceptable because it's conflated with weakness. So much of what society puts on men is just so fucked up. And the Me Too thing, you know, I mentioned that in a podcast recently. I don't want to detract from that at all. And at the same time, exactly what Kate Lurie says, if men are forbidden to show compassion and be vulnerable, then how do we expect them to have emotional intelligence? Where are they to learn the skill automatically? Now that we, as women, are screaming, Me Too, we're not going to put up with this fucking entitled shit anymore. So we're at an impasse. If you people out there who have children can find a way to counter this, to do something different, I really, really urge you to. I really urge you not to put those same bullshit rules on your boys or on your girls. I don't know how much I contributed to helping the world in this way, but I had one girl child. She really, really hates pink. She wanted to wear t-shirts with dinosaurs on them because they were really cool. So we shopped in the boys' department, and she became a junior black belt in Aikido when she was fairly young. So there are ways to do this in your family, with your children, that can help to start turning the tide in the direction that we want, to turn it away from this violence, because you're just asking. I mean, I've said it before, I said it in the podcast before, no wonder men don't live as long as women. Jesus Christ, we box them into an impossible situation. And again, none of this is meant to detract from the Me Too. Women are also in a very, very difficult situation, and they interweave, they interact, they are reliant on each other's bullshits. And so let's stop teaching the kids the bullshits and actually raise them to be compassionate, understanding, vulnerable, kind, emotionally intelligent human beings, no matter what gender they are, or even if they decide they are non-binary and refuse to be called one gender or the other. Okay, that's my rant. That's as far as I'm going to go. If you want to see me talk about what I think about gun rights and things like that, you can come to my Facebook page, because I've got quite the active conversation going on there. But I'm not going to jump onto it with the podcast here, because we got other things we need to talk about. Please do contact Kate if you are in need of a psychotherapist who specializes in kink, non-monogamy, LGBTQ, and sex worker communities. Like I said, she does Skype sessions. KateLurie.com. Okay, what's next? This is another comment on a past podcast, but a different one. Dear Ruby, I wanted to share a link to another podcast that also recently mentioned the vagus nerve. Terry Gross in Fresh Air and Ruby Ryder in Pegging Paradise both rank with high honors for podcasts with clear, honest information hosted by strong women with voices made for broadcasting. Fresh Air recently aired an interview with Jean Lenzer about her book about medical devices called The Danger Within Us. In it, she talks about a case where epileptic seizures were being treated by implanting a vagus nerve stimulator. The description she has about a guy that had the device malfunctioning is appalling. I thought of your podcast number 169 when I heard it, as I know you try to be current and accurate with any information you share. In case you hadn't come across this before, I thought you would find it interesting to learn. Please share as you deem appropriate and keep up your great work in saving the world one ass at a time. Your fan and admirer, Steve. And then he gave me a link to the Fresh Air podcast that it was on. I have not listened to this yet, but it is good to know that, you know, I was in this moment of discovery in terms of the vagus nerve stimulator and all the different things that it could do, and that there were actually medical devices being implanted to help stop epileptic seizures. However, I get the impression, not having listened to this podcast, and goodness sakes, thanks for the comparison to Terry Gross, she's a freaking legend. Thank you for sending the link, but I get the impression that, yes, this is not all smiles and roses here, that these things can and do fail and can likely cause some awful consequences. So I'm going to give that a listen when I have time, but if anybody out there is interested in that side of the whole vagus nerve discussion, that link is going to be on my Linkorama for you to check out and listen to that podcast. Thank you so much for sending it in. I do like to be current about stuff I talk about, so I appreciate that. Here's another letter. I'd like to know if there's a specific way I should go about pegging for the first time. If I have the strap on already, is there one position that is better than others? Hard or slow thrusts? Of course, that might depend on the sub I'm pegging. That might be something we need to discuss first. Just in general, any advice for the beginner? Thank you in advance. Okay, so the best thing to do if you are in this kind of a situation is to take a class from me. So, because there's lots of little details, but let me run across a few. Okay, to stay safe with pegging, here are the things that you need to remember. Go slow, and when I say slow, I don't mean 30 seconds of foreplay and then shove it in. I mean a lot of foreplay. I want you to play with that ass long enough to where you can get as many fingers in as you need to that compare with the width of the toy that you are planning to stick in his ass. Usually that's two. Okay, so you start off with one, you play around for a while, you keep in communication, you ask him how it feels, you search around, see if you can find the prostate, you make it sexy, you make it fun, and then by the time you can slip two fingers in there, and that is the same probably as the width of the toy you are planning to fuck him with, then you are more ready for this to happen. So go slow. That's the first rule of safety. The next one is not too big. You're going to choose that first toy with some restraint. Really, it can go either way. On both sides of the pegging equation, sometimes people are really scared of either getting hurt or hurting him. So they choose tiny, teeny toys, and my rule has always been if it's the same size as your finger, you might as well use your finger. However, you can go the other way, too, from both sides of the equation, and you can have been fantasizing about this moment for a long time, and when you pick out your toys, they can be too big. That is a case of your eyes are bigger than your ass. I tend to recommend approximately 1 1/4 inch maximum for newbies, okay? If you've got a really tight ass, which you will find out when you start doing some foreplay, then 1 inch in diameter is sufficient. But 1 1/4 inches is not bad, so you can do that. So not too big. Okay? Lots of lube. And I really do mean lots of lube. Your ass is not self-lubricating, so you're going to want to use plenty of lube and make sure that is a smooth ride. Because if you've ever had anybody penetrate your ass without enough lube, it is not pleasant, and you want this to be a fun, pleasant thing, okay? A next rule of safety, nothing sharp. Oh, that seems like a no-brainer. I don't even know why I have to say that, but it is really important. Nothing sharp ever, ever. If you have fingernails, you can either choose to put cotton balls in the end of gloves and be very careful with your fingers, or you can choose to use a toy instead and not stick your finger up his ass, because sharp fingernails up an ass is not advisable at all. Bad idea, bad idea. So nothing sharp. Anal safe toys only. You know, your finger's attached to you. It's not going to go anywhere. But if you have a toy that does not have a flared base on it and you're sticking that in his ass for foreplay, Not a good idea. Sometimes the lube makes things pretty slippery and it can go inside him, and you do not want a visit to the emergency room to be something that's necessary when you haven't even begun to do pegging yet. So anal safe toys only. The last one is never, ever, ever use any kind of lube that has a numbing agent to it. Pain is an indicator. If something hurts, you're doing something wrong or you're going too fast. And besides, he wants to be able to feel that prostate. He wants to feel it, so numbing it out inside is a really bad idea. Never, ever use that. Bad idea. So those are your safety things. Now, you should never start hard thrusting and going fast. You should always start slow. If you've ever received anal sex, you would know that this is the comfortable way to do it. It's a tender area. It's a vulnerable area. It is an area that requires respect and kindness, if you will. So go slow. At some point in time, when you're experienced at it, or if he's really into it and it's all going great and it feels amazing, he may ask you to really slam into him. Wait for that. Don't ever, ever start there. Okay, let's see what else you mentioned. You mentioned hard or slow thrusts, and that might depend on the sub that you're pegging. No, even if you're dominant and you have a submissive male that you are pegging, if that sub is a newbie, you're not going to want to do hard thrusts. You're going to want to take everything very slow and very gradual. If it's someone who's really experienced, then they can verbally lead you through how much power and speed and intensity they would like. And I know that, okay, you're dominant, he's submissive, so it's what you're probably, you know, wanting is to be able to know enough about this to run the fuck. And the thing is it's a bit of a steep learning curve, so you're going to have to figure it out first. And during that time, he may have to lead you a little bit. That's okay. That doesn't sacrifice any of your dominance or anything like that. But if he's been there before and done the pegging, then it's important that you listen to him, because he not only has had a cock for his entire life and probably has put it in someone's ass before, so he has information from that side of things, but also if he's received anal sex before, he knows what works and what doesn't. There are some general rules, but there's also a lot of variance in terms of just individuality. So listen to your sub, and definitely this is something you need to discuss first. Probably better to discuss it first than to be in the middle of it and that kind of stuff. So what other advice do I have for you as a beginner? When you have done all that luscious foreplay and he's like, okay, I'm ready, and you're like, I'm ready, whatever position you decide to be in, if you have him on his hands and knees, or if he's laying down flat on something and you're getting ready to penetrate him, it's really important that you be able to hold yourself up. This is the balance and the strength part. And be poised in a position where you push against that anal sphincter and wait for it to open up. You don't just shove it in there, okay? And when it opens up, what you don't want is to have a whole lot of forward momentum behind it. Because when that sphincter opens up, if you have that forward momentum and you're totally leaning into it, you're going to bottom out really fast and it's going to be fairly unpleasant. It's not going to be a fun thing. Even if you have opened up that ass nicely with the fingers, okay? You have to be careful in that moment. What else do you need to know? It doesn't make any difference whether he has an erection or not. That doesn't mean he's not having a good time. If you want to know if he's enjoying what you're doing to him, ask him. The presence of an erection does not indicate how much fun he's having. Some men have erections that come and go. Some are hard the whole time. Some couldn't get hard if their life depended on it. Again, the variance is very individual. So there's that. And put your strap on and wear it around the house and get used to it. Make sure it fits correctly. Scoot it down so the base of that dildo is over your lady bits. That is where it's supposed to fit, not up higher on your pubic bone. Or if you really start slamming in there at some point, maybe not the first time, but whenever, it's going to end up with you having a bruised pubic bone. So those are some of the basics. But yeah, The webinar thing is literally days away, so if you'd like to sign up for a webinar and learn a little bit more about the beginning stuff, I urge you to do that. And as soon as the webinar is happening, I will be shouting it from the rooftops. Okay, so thanks for your question. That's the basics. And let's move on to the next letter. Hello, Ruby. Pegging seems to be a universe full of rich new sensations. We'd like to give it a try. Could you please give us some advice on what model to buy? We'd like to have a double dildo so both of us could enjoy the pleasure on the same scale. So what model to go for and what to avoid? Any other advice for beginners? Thank you, Ruby, for your blog and letting newbies access a whole new universe. Nicole and Vincent. Nicole and Vincent, thank you so much for your letter, and I'm going to tell you the same thing I tell everybody who writes asking me what's the best equipment, what should we get? There are so many decisions to be made regarding equipment that what you really need to do is to listen to podcast number 102, which goes through all of those different choices, because there's a lot of them. It depends on your body shape. It depends on color or realistic preferences. It depends whether you'd like fabric or leather or a curved dildo or a slick one or a ribbed one or one that has a matte or velvet finish. You see, dual density, a little bit more forgiving, a little bit harder, more prostate pressure. See, there's so many different things to decide that I really encourage you to listen to podcast number 102 and then come back to me and I will tell you exactly the best brands to buy because, man, I got a line in on that one, that's for sure. And I would encourage you actually to start off with a single. If you're really interested in having concurrent pleasure, there is a learning curve that requires most women to work up to it. We're not used to having a cock. We don't know how to use it. It can be really exciting. There are absolutely women that put in doubles and orgasm the first time. There are women out there that use singles, and just the pressure of the base of the dildo against their lady bits makes them orgasm, because as we know, a lot of this is psychological, and it's pretty fucking hot to fuck a guy in the ass for the first time when you're really excited about it. However, what I have found is a chorus amongst those of you who have already traveled a ways down the pegging path that says, don't start with the doubles. They're a little too complicated. They're sort of like varsity equipment, if you will. Learn how to fuck first. Learn how to move. Learn what he likes. Learn to do it the right way and then get the double. And that doesn't mean she can't have pleasure, because there are also dildos, and I'll put the link to the ones I'm talking about, the few singles that have an insertion point for a vibe, and that might be a lovely thing for her. If she's really G-spot oriented, then still, I would recommend not starting with the double. If you're set on it, then you are, and you're going to buy whatever you want, but start listening with podcast number 102, and write me back, and I'll be happy to help you figure out what equipment is what you really like and need and want, because again, very, very individual with from couple to couple. It really totally is. Here's the next letter. Hey, Ruby, I'm still trying to get my wife to peg me. She isn't too keen on a strap-on. Have you already covered a how to get your woman to strap on? She'll use a toy, but she's still skittish. I want her to want to do this. Please help. Okay, I get these letters regularly, and sir, the first thing I would tell you to do is go and to listen to podcast number 112, and again, I'll put the link for that in the Linkorama. The reason I want you to go listen to that is because that is a podcast that I recorded specifically for this situation. You've introduced the concept to her, good on you. You've asked for it, but she's not too keen on it. Listen to it yourself first, because you, as her partner, are the only one who knows whether it is appropriate for her. You're the only one that can make that decision. But what I've done in that podcast is I've covered all of the different fears and misconceptions, and I've intended to give only accurate information, not in an attempt to convince, but in an attempt to inform, so that she can decide whether she's into it or not. But the best thing about that podcast is that I really emphasize how important it is to be grateful to your partner that they've revealed this kink to you, this desire to explore this new sexual territory, even if as the giver you never ever decide that you want to peg your partner. the fact that the receiver came to you and said, this is a kink, this is something I'm really interested in, it really turns me on, is something to be grateful for, because it was a gift of intimacy. They've allowed you to know them on a deeper level, and they've allowed you to know their kinks on a different, on a deeper level, which is totally fucking awesome. So, podcast number 112, boom. Also, do a little bit of housekeeping, if you will. And what I mean about that is take a look at how things are between you now. Can you talk about sex really easily? Can you ask for things? Can you share your desires and things? Can you talk in bed? If you're not too good at that, or you're shy with each other, that's the very first place to start. Because just like I mentioned earlier in the podcast about a double-ended dildo being a varsity toy in comparison to a single flared base dildo, when you do pegging to begin with, I consider it to be varsity sex. You need to have your communication in place. So communication needs to be there. Also, you need to rock her world and make her just a little quivering mass of happiness with all of the pleasure that you can manage to give her in her favorite ways, so that she will be very, very willing to try something new with you. There's a give and take here, and make sure that you are not just being a guy who's saying, I want you to peg me, come on, do this thing, and you are not paying a ton of attention to what she needs, what she wants, in exactly the way she wants it. So yes, pay attention to that, do some housekeeping, and make sure that that feels equal, or even more than equal. Give her a ton of attention. The happier she is with how you are in bed and even out of bed, helping with housework, doing stuff, you know what I mean, the more she will be likely to want to do something that you're really interested in, even if she doesn't have that much interest in it herself. So there you go. That is my basic advice. Try that podcast and let us know how it goes. And now it's pegging celebration time. Just tried on Valentine's Eve. Oh my God, never felt anything like it. But the biggest surprise was when we went back to bed a few hours later, I was rock hard, something that just doesn't happen to me at 59 and suffering from ED, which is erectile dysfunction. I can't wait for the weekend. Okay, so I've talked about this before, people, that some men report more frequent, longer lasting, and easier to get hard erections after having prostate stimulation. Why is this so? I don't know why it's so. I know that enough men talk about it to where it is a thing. What percentage? I don't know. I remember somebody before that I read their letter in the podcast saying, you know, I feel like my dick is like 20 years old again. And this guy was in his 40s. And it starts slowing down, starts, you know, having a hard time getting hard. So my suspicion is that when you get in there and do something that massages that prostate, you kind of wake up the whole area. And you also sort of massage it. And, you know, all the pelvic muscles are in there too. And I've talked about pelvic floor dysfunction before. It's a really good idea to have that all sort of massaged and taken care of and healthy, as opposed to walking around in life, never ever sticking anything up your ass because you're so freaked out about appearing gay or feeling like you're going to get turned gay, and you have all this tension, and it is quite common for men to carry tension in their pelvic area, and pelvic floor dysfunction can manifest with a variety of different symptoms, which we've gone over before. So I think that what it's doing is just relaxing all that so that everything works better. When things are relaxed, there's better blood flow in the entire area. Better blood flow is what's going to give you those erections. I am so happy for you that not only did you like wake up with morning wood, you just like went to bed a few hours later and you were rock hard. That was like, I would have been, if I was a guy, I would have been out of the bed dancing and waving it around and going, check it, check it, check it. That's exciting. And I'm really happy for you. And I'm also happy that it went so well. I would like to hear a little bit more of the story because once I read this letter, I went back and recorded a little thing in the beginning for, you know, pegging celebration time, because clearly it is. But, you know, really want a little bit more of the story would be awesome. And if you don't want to do that, that's totally fine. But you got the music played for you. So happy for you both. Keep at it and have fun. Okay, that is all of the letters that we have today. It was a bit of a short week. Partly because I was so all caught up with the bisexual podcast, I think. Either that or you all were having so much fun because of Valentine's Day or whatever that you didn't write in. But let's talk about the webinars. So I know that there's a lot of listeners out there who have just been going, wow, I wish I could make it to California and Long Beach and that kind of thing, because of I only teach in certain places, as I've spoken before about being a sex educator. It just really is not something that is a big money earner. Pretty much you can't even cover your costs. And there are a lot of places that really, unfortunately, expect you to teach for free. For example, when I went to Denver and taught those two classes, I was thrilled to be there. I was thrilled to have that many people attending the classes. They were asked to make a donation of $10 apiece per class. And at the same time, they were not kept out if they couldn't afford it or couldn't afford to donate anything at all, which I'm really a fan of because I don't want there to be a paywall between all of this information that I want to share with you and the information, right? I want everybody to have access to it. The people who could afford to were asked to pay more than that $10 per class. I haven't gotten my check yet, but it was a 50-50 split between the organization that hosted me and me, because the venue actually didn't charge a thing, and this almost never happens. So, you know, when I teach very small classes down in Long Beach, I charge more because there's all kinds of individual attention. Those classes usually, oh, at the most are 8 to 10. They're fairly small classes. And that is the place to be if you can come to California to get all of this one-on-one. Well, but that's not the only place anymore. Because next week, what we're going to start is webinars. And the webinars are going to be available to everyone. So if you live in another country, if you live across the pond and you're really wanting to take classes from me, please drop me a line so I know how many people approximately want that time slot, since clearly it's going to have to be at a different timing than anybody who lives in the United States. From my Google Analytics, I know that most of the people who listen to my podcast are in the United States, Canada, but there's also the UK, Germany, and other places. So anybody who's really wanting to take a class right now, please drop me a line. Let me know what time zone you're in, where you are, and we can make it work. I'm going to be just doing the basics and using Zoom. And so Zoom is something downloadable. It's easy. It's free. I'll set up the meeting. You'll have a password to get in. And we'll go for it. And I'm going to start with small groups until I get really used to the platform. I'm doing some practice ones right now. My sister's helping me with that, which is totally awesome. And I'm really excited about it because, you know, I've been putting it off. I have wanted to do podcasts for a while. I paid a bunch of money for a very expensive platform that turned out to be so complicated that it scared me away. Because, you know, you've been hearing me say, yeah, I'm going to do webinars for a long time, and I'm kind of embarrassed that I'm only now getting to it. Well, part of the reason I'm getting to it is because I know there's so many people out there that want to learn this. And the Zoom thing is easy. It's so easy to do. It's really easy. So let's try it and see how these webinars work. I actually also just got a letter that I responded to just a few minutes ago before I started recording the podcast from someone who put the idea out there of having a webinar for those over 50. So, you know, in FetLife, they have like the next generation groups, or not just FetLife, but anywhere, the next generation that are like 30 or under. And for a lot of good reasons, this is a cool thing to do. Well, it could be for a lot of good reasons doing a webinar with 50 and over as well, because you deal with different issues if you're older than you do if you're younger. Usually when I teach a private class, if I have a mix of ages, it's easy to cover all the bases and talk about both. But it would also be really cool to have a class where all the stuff that I'm telling you applied to you, because it is age-related. If you are younger, different things happen than if you are older. Like in pegging, just like with everything else. I mean, the guy who had a hard-on 2 hours later was blown away because he was 59. Well, the guy who's 25 is not going to be blown away. He's like, wow, that was so exciting. I'm fucking horny again. And this is a normal thing, right? So that is a kind of a strange example, but that's the point. So that's another thing that I'm going to put on the books for the future, in case there are a bunch of people out there over 50 who are really interested in this. It's going to be a lot of prostate education, as well as positions that are easier for old folks. I'm kind of there. I'm 60. I was really disappointed because I went to the movies last night and I wanted to get a senior pass. You know, this is the time in your life, right? When you hit 60, it's like, finally, I can start getting a senior discount. Finally. And I look at the theater that I'm going to and it's freaking 62. It's like, come on. And I know that I'm not getting some senior discounts that I could be getting, because I think that there's senior discounts like at fast food restaurants and stuff that I don't know about just because I haven't researched it. And it's not that big of a deal, but, you know, I got to get that happening, man. I did go and see last night, by myself no less, Black Panther. I cannot recommend it highly enough. You don't really have to be a Marvel fan. I know there's people who are just not into the whole Marvel thing. The reason it's an awesome movie to see is because almost every single person in that movie is a person of color. It's so fucking awesome. How often do you see that? You know, we can go blah, blah, blah. It's a pretty cool thing because we had the movie Hidden Figures and the three main actors, right, were women of color. Okay, no, this is like the whole freaking movie. But it's not just that. It has awesome messages. It has beautiful cinematography and special effects. It has amazing costumes. The message, though, totally teary-eyed. It got to me. I am definitely a Marvel fan, but I can't recommend this movie highly enough, partly because it's breaking boundaries down. It's breaking down those walls that people of color can't have an awesome movie. Well, you know, we've proven them wrong, haven't we? Because this movie is breaking all box office records, and I couldn't be happier. I'm going to go see it at least twice in the big theater and definitely buy it after. I'm going to try and go maybe three times because it's really worth seeing over and over again. It is. So, yes, can't recommend it highly enough. Please, please do go see it. It's totally awesome. Why did I go by myself? Well, I had a date, but he got ill. And so I put it out there on FetLife and on Facebook that if anybody wanted to join me, you know, I would consider it to send me a message. Nobody popped up because I only gave him about 4 or 5 hours notice. But when I got down there, they were actually kind enough to refund my money for the one ticket that wasn't being used. So I sat there and watched it by myself, and it was awesome. Can't recommend it enough. I've said that like 3 times already, but, you know, please go see it. It's a freaking amazing movie. Amazing, amazing. Okay, I do believe that we have come to the end of the podcast. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you could find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too juvenile, too jaded, or too jarring. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.